5432. You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us this Sunday evening. My guest this week is author and former host of Bulls and Bears on Fox News Network, Tobin Smith. His new book is Foxocracy, Inside the Network's Playbook of Tribal Warfare. And yes, I did say tribal warfare. Many people have become enamored with the Fox News Network over the years. I know for many years I watched the one and only Bill O'Reilly. But now a lot of people have taken exception to the way that the Fox News presents facts and figures. And we'll be talking to Tobin for the next half hour about his book and his experience with the Fox News Network. Tobin, nice to have you with us.
Same here, and I must say that I was not the host of Bulls and Bears. That was my dear friend Brenda Butner. I was the guest host when she was not there, and so I just want to be sure of that, Al. I don't want, I'll get the email. I'll start getting those hate mail.
You and me both.
Yeah, right.
It's often been said, especially when they got, when they started to get their running legs and they became a force in cable news networking, that they were, and I think for the most part, they still claim to be fair and balanced, for one, that quote that's often used, but more importantly, the only voice that conservatives or people leaning more right have. Is that, I mean, do they deliver fair and balanced reporting?
Well, so you have to remember, the first thing you have to do is you have to divide the news side from the opinion side. And truly, I mean, just to give you an example, CNN has 152 branches around the world, news bureaus. Fox has 5, okay? So, the idea that news really was designed from the beginning to be, as they say in television, the beard. You know how Rock Hudson, Doris Day, Rock Hudson becomes a big star in 1961, and he's got a little problem. He's gay. So they marry him. His agent actually married him to this woman, so that people would say, hey, he's fair and balanced. He's gay. The news bureau is just the beard for the opinion business. The opinion business is where the money is. It's where the advertising is. And the first thing anybody has to identify is that, yes, Bill Hemmer and Shep Smith, and there was certainly Neil Camuto, the guys on the real news side, are real journalists, real news journalists, and they exist. But their ratings are, three quarters less, 75% less than the opinion. The opinion business is what hooks people. The opinion business is the business that, I sort of call the dark psychology, because every way to manipulate someone, particularly the audience. Remember, the Fox News audience, the median age, Al, is 68 years old. That means half of the people are older than 68. they're, when they say it's angry white guys, it's because it's a lot of angry white guys, old white guys. So they have a whole different psychology than, someone who's 32 years old and, wants to see what happened in the news today. What happened today is news. How I want you to feel about it is opinion, and then it became really a propaganda station. Remember, we had like 50,000 people watching our show in 2000 when I started, and Fox never really had the ratings until a little after 9/11. Certainly, that spiked for a long time, but it wasn't until Obama got elected that the whole network took off. And when we became the Obama bashing network, then finally Roger Ailes has an enemy. I mean, essentially the problem was there was no antagonist in their play. As far as fair and balance, well, that's complete BS, I'd say, the real world, but I don't know how it works on NPR these days. We on my show, particularly Bulls and Bears, the whole thing, in every opinion show I was ever on a panel, was a complete setup. It was WWE meets, Sports Center. and the whole idea was, you got to understand the psychology of it. The psychology is it, and I'm sure you don't know this, but they've done all these MRI tests, and they've discovered that people who self-identify as conservative, and that could be in the UK, that could be in India, or that's the United States, they are more sensitive to fear-based content, and they actually see in these MRIs it's because the part of their brain, the brainstem, that is responsible for automatic fight or flight fear stuff, called the amygdala, is like 20% larger. It's, when I learned that, I totally understood, because we start off an opinion show with a Fox News alert. Well, it's no news. The Fox News alert, but the red lights are going, et cetera. So the first thing you do is you jack them up. And the way you jack them up is just take whatever tribal heresy of the day has happened and then present it in a fearful way. So, boom, now you're in fight or flight mode. Then, once I get you down, if I can give you hope, if I can take you from the depth of despair, basically as the New England Patriot fan is today, and rebuild that there's hope that your tribe is going to win ultimately this existential battle against your hated tribal enemies, those damn liberals. If I can do that, I can orchestrate that, then I'm going to give you every freaking neurochemical of pleasure and then follow the episode with the big one, dopamine. And it we're a chemistry set. I mean, the whole concept was that the producer would invite the weakest liberal to go against three very strong liberals who've been doing it, conservatives who've been doing it for 15, 20 years, because the guy would tune out if his team was losing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole strategy. And whether that's, CNN, I watch all of them now, sort of professionally as a media critic or a tribal media critic. And certainly some producers have gone over to MSNBC, and a couple I know at CNN, and certainly there have been some people from on-air talent that have gone there. But it's completely different, and it's completely different because, look at Sean Hannity. He does 3 hours of radio a day, and, they send the Brinks truck over and bring him $15 million for that, and then, Fox gives him $15 million, right? Dude, you're not getting $30 million because you're the smartest guy in town. you get it because you hypnotize old people. You deliver, you use, essentially, one day I looked up, I was just curious, the Joseph Goebbels' rules of propaganda, and then I read Mein Kampf again because I was just so curious about it. And, oh, my God, we literally, the rules that Goebbels, set out are exactly the same way we do the show, and we follow all the same rules.
Well, let me ask you, though.
Because it works.
Well, I was just going to say, so when you start out at the year 2000, you're a network that's got, as you said, 50,000 viewers or less, certainly not enough to even dent the marketplace.
Yeah.
You pull out all the stops and you look for, as they say in marketing, find your niche and exploit that. They seem to have done that, and they seem to have done that very well. With that said, let me ask you, who's the brains behind this? Is it one of the Murdochs? Was it Rupert Murdoch himself, or was it people that he had hired?
No, it was Roger Ailes. You have to understand a couple things. First off, Roger Ailes never did a minute of news television in his life. His entire business, going back to the 60s and 70s, was conservative attack ads. Now, in my life, I've done a lot of television work and television advertising, et cetera. And, they have this thing called a focus group. Now, they used to have them. I mean, it was actual physical people who'd get in a room and you'd wire them up. And then you'd show images to them and see how they react and whatever images they reacted to most. Guess what? That went into your ad. And so Roger understood how fear works. He understands. And remember, the term tribal, I think people, it becomes so broad. Tribal just simply means you blindly hate a group of people you've never freaking met. That's what tribalism is. And tribalism is innate in our beings. That's how we got to be on the top of the food chain. And, by the way, as we evolved, it turned out that if you weren't a part of a tribe, then you were part of the food chain, right? So the people who say, hey, wait a minute, Mr. Tribal Leader, I want to talk to you about this. They got kicked out of the tribe, and then they were toast. So what happened is we grew up and evolved to be that we seek tribes, we seek people who think the way we do. This is all natural human nature, and certainly Fox tied into it. But Roger Ailes understood propaganda, all right? So propaganda, everybody thinks of propaganda like, jackboot dudes, marching around, and, some of the movies in the 30s they did. As a side note, You know who were the two biggest radio hosts and biggest radio talk show hits in Europe in 1930? Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler. I mean, it's honest to God, it's the truth. You can't make this up, right? Because there was these two technological advances that came, moving pictures and, you know, national radio.
Right.
So those new technologies allowed Goebbels, I'm sorry, and the other guys to, you know, build this propaganda machine, and it worked spectacularly well. But you had to have all the ingredients to make it happen. And what Roger Ailes understood more than anyone was the merciless beat down the conservatives feel that they're getting from, you know, what now we're calling, I guess, the fake news, but, you know, from television to late night comics to television shows, you know, plots, they're always to the dumb guy, hey, how you doing, you know, hee-haw. And then certainly, you know, in the editorial section of newspapers, and most of the old white guys can't tell the difference between the editorial section and the news section. If there's an editorial that says that they're dumb and stupid, then they assume that that is the entire newspaper. So you take all this angst, you take all this anger, you take all, and what Roger really understood was, is we basically were producing revenge porn. This was revenge against those GD liberals who don't honor our values, who, you know, are secular, that think that we're talking to our imaginary friend, Jesus Christ, yada, yada, yada. And it worked, but what really made it work, Al, is that Rupert Murdoch put about $1 billion up front to get the carriage on all the cable systems.
Right.
So no one else had done that. Roger had worked for Joseph Coors, a crazy old white guy in Colorado from Coors Beer, who started a network that was supposed to be this conservative network, and, you know, they had about, you know, three viewers and a lapdog. So when he got together with Murdoch, the first thing he says, I'm not doing this unless you get us carriage in the major markets up front, which meant they were paying $1.50 per month, you know, per viewer, you know, per network. I mean, they were paying literally $150 million a year just for carriage. Now, when, you know, a variety of things happened, but certainly Barack Hussein Obama being elected now gave them the enemy. They gave them the freaking quintessential liberal enemy, and then it took off. And also, by the way, you know, this guy named Donald Trump, who started showing up on the show about 2010, he learned everything he knew from Roger. Trump, it was nothing. I interviewed Trump so many times, I want to puke. And, you know, he is the least interesting, the least articulate human being I ever met, but he learned from Fox News how to become a tribalist, how to, you know, create a us versus them deal, and that was all Roger trying to say. It was Roger and Murdoch's money.
So even as you coming on board, because in the book you mentioned the word, and I every time I read it, every time I see the word, it still makes me makes me laugh. Hitman, Tobin, you're gonna host this show, or you're gonna be on this show regularly, but you're gonna be a hitman, and then to come back and also integrate, and we haven't got a chance to talk about this yet, but I wanted to get your input on this. Women, you're right. The target market was, as you said, conservative, angry white men who felt that the world that they were raised in, the world that they had got to know, no longer was their own, and they wanted it back. But they have been able to recruit a fair amount of women who normally would say, I don't buy into any of that garbage. So what is it that draws people to this network and buys into, as you said, Ailes' formula for winning over viewers?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, honestly, the psychology of what I call sort of the dark psychology of Fox News is very simple. It's been done many times before. It's been done through many centuries. But, you know, the golden rule at Fox News or Joseph Goebbels or wherever is if you can, dehumanize your tribal enemy, then you'll make people feel that it's morally okay to hate them. Mm. And if I can get you to feel that it's morally okay to hate these people, then I own you. Because what happens is, you know, psychologically, like I just did a survey of about 2,000 Fox News viewers. You identify them through Facebook, of course, and, you know, that they like Fox News. So we and I'm in the survey business anyway. So we did a survey, and we asked the question, do you understand the concept of cognitive dissonance and the concept of confirmation bias as it relates to Fox News? And shockingly, I mean shockingly, less than 12% of people even knew what the words were. Okay? So if you don't understand that once you become tribalized, in other words, tribalized in the way I use, I think the way it should be properly, is simply that you see your out-group, the liberals, the people, as a existential enemy, that they are a threat to your way of life, they're a threat to the way you work, blah, blah, blah. And when you do that, your brain switches over to tribal mentality. And in tribal mentality, that's how people get dehumanized. If you listened to Sean Hannity and now my old friend Tucker Carlson, who's like gone off the deep end, and marinate your brain in this for 3 hours a day, what the hell do you think's going to happen to you? How are you going to see the world? How are you going to, because you have this, you know, instinctual, involuntary circuit that you've switched on. And when you switch that on, you know, there's probably 15 different cognitive events that happen to you when you become tribalized. But the most important one is that you now seek information, evidence of the superiority of your tribe, and you innately seek it, and you innately reject, as if you have a shield around you, any information that or evidence that your tribe is not superior, right? That's cognitive dissonance and confirmation bias. Those two cognitive drives, more than anything else, are how we build an audience. But we didn't work until we had a freaking enemy. You know, George Bush was in there. He was about as dumb as a post, but he was a Republican. You know, he sent us over. I get all these things from Karl Rove all the time. Hey, Joe, you talk about this? Well, sure, you know. We're not pretending to be fair and balanced. Oh, yeah, that's right. We do say fair and balanced. But you know, Fox was always the White House, you know, newsroom,
right,
during the Bush administration.
Right.
And that's not to say that, you know, that during the Obama administration that CNN or MSNBC didn't have it. But there are pikers compared to Fox when it comes to manipulating innate psychology. And in raising, essentially, tribally activating people. Because the whole idea on Fox was the opinion side, again, was to do what Roger Ailes did in one-minute attack ads. These are now eight-minute attack ads. And the psychology of an attack ad is the same frickin' psychology, dark psychology, if you will, of Fox News opinion segment. It has it orchestrated, et cetera. But the one thing is, above all else, where I was called the hitman, was that I was good enough at this that I could, if the chair was wobbling a little bit, I could come in and put that guy away.
Yeah.
And when you put him away, then, I mean, honestly, if your audience, if you, again, pretend you're at a winning Patriots game. Excuse me, I couldn't stop with that. you stand up and you take your hand, you make it in the fist, and you go, yeah, right? Well, when you do that, you get a shot of adrenaline.
Oh, yeah.
It's involuntary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely.
And think about it. I can't tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of people that I've met and would come up to me and say, you know, Toby, oh, my God, I wanted to throw a freaking brick through that television, but you pulled it back and you killed that libtard, man. I love you, brother. You're doing God's work.
It's funny you said that, because I want to tell a quick story, but before I do that, I just want to take a quick pause, let folks know that they're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. My guest this week is author and former television Fox News host, Tobin Smith, and his new book is Foxocracy. Tobin,
Foxocracy.
I had Foxocracy. Hey, you know, this is what happens when you get a skinny Italian behind the microphone. You know, I had a neighbor. It's funny, you were talking about how people became empowered and found their voice. I have a neighbor to this day. In any conversation with any of the other neighbors will say, well, you didn't listen to Fox last night. You didn't listen to Hannity. You should have listened. And
ding,
I take
ding,
a...
Ding, ding.
Sometimes I say, I pull him aside sometimes and I say, Steve, wait a minute. You know, there were some good points, but he wasn't totally on track, on mark here. He goes, what are you, crazy? And this guy was never one to arch up his back. And just as you were saying, I believe this is his drug. This is what he needs daily to give him the moxie to go out there and then start to, you know, try and shatter everybody's world. So, I mean, you know, as much as we hate to say it, Ailes did have a winning formula, did he not?
Well, it did. The issue, though, I think, Al, is number one, Steve described as what I call a foxhole. They have become desocialized, and we have about 7 to 10 million of them in the United States based on our data. We have 80 million people in the United States who report, and this is from a Frank Luntz survey, 80 million people report that they are not speaking with or are estranged from at least one close family member or longtime friend over politics. And that Steve guy, trust me, I know Steve. I've met thousands of Steve. and they do feel empowered. Because remember, again, the psychology of it. We have this need when we socially identify. So we have a self-identity, right? And we also have a social identity. Well, we could use, I make fun of the patches because, you know, they've only won 435 patches. but, you know, when people self-identify as a football, you know, fan, et cetera, that's cool. And it's fun to hate on the Giants and the Jets and so on and so forth, but it's all in good fun. I was a Lakers season ticket holder for a long time. And when the Celtics would come out, oh man, it was a blast.
Oh yeah.
And we'd all buy each other beers afterwards, or whoever won, and, you know, it was a blast. Well, that's sports fandom. But political fandom and political, this is life and death. I mean, this is existential battles of against people that they have imagined want to take away their life, take away their livelihood, et cetera. And so what happens is you get in this degenerative feedback loop. We haven't even mentioned the fact that the other thing that happened in 2008 was social media. We run various websites, et cetera, and I can tell you that just recently, the last time I went in to look at the monthly audience reach of Fox News content, because remember, 3.5-4 million people, maybe, you know, 5 million on a big speech will watch Fox News on any day, but there's 80 million plus who are you know, interacting with Fox News hate content on a monthly basis via all the other screens in their life.
Right.
So so that's how Fox News actually, you know, now that they went back and looked at the data in 2016, those 77,000 votes that carried the three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, that were the marginal victory posts, it showed that 6 to 10% of those votes were people who were independent, but they had been watching Fox News a lot during the election, and they, you know, chose to vote Trump at the end, and that made the difference. So now, when you take the combined effect of this, of the social media redistribution and you know, retargeting, because remember, if you click that you like Fox News, you're never going to see a CNN opinion product there. You're never going to. And then the other thing that's happened is the social psychologists have really gotten into this, and the idea that if I take Sean Hannity's, you know, 8-minute first segment or 3-minute monologue, whatever, and I send it to my Facebook friends or my Instagram or my Twitter or God knows what, my LinkedIn people, and I put a coda on it. I give you my summation, and here's where he's right, and yada, yada, and I hit click. Well, that's called participatory propaganda, because you're now cognitively invested in it. In the old days was, you know, you didn't have any of this stuff.
Right.
When you're Steve, you walk outside and you say, hey, did you see O'Reilly? That's now, he really killed that Al Sharpton. What an asshole he is, right? but now, you are participating in it, and it has a 20x multiplier effect. And one of the things I really discovered in researching, because I'm an equity researcher, macroeconomic guy, you know, the television thing is just sort of a side hustle for 20 years. But the psychology of this is so powerful. And the Steves of the world multiply them at 7 to 10 million. They become desocialized. In other words, just as you say, he can't have a conversation. You walk outside and you see that, you know, the sky's blue, and Steve will say, yeah, where's that global warming, huh? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Benghazi, you know, I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because the other thing that Ailes knew so well was narratives, right? So narrative is like the world's most overused word today. But a narrative, from an economic standpoint, is simply, you know, a concept that's viral, a concept that is contagious. That's all a narrative is. And so what we would do is we just test these things, and now you get feedback because you get ratings, and then, of course, you have an online site so you can see hits. And whatever was the most contagious narrative, that was it today. And they would put together a memo every morning, and it was basically Roger's id spilling into paper. And whatever that was, that worked. And so we really became what I call this tribal hate porn, because in essence, I can manipulate you to get an involuntary reaction and create a chain reaction simply by what I choose to start off with, the visuals I use. Nothing against radio, but remember, people get 80% of their emotional context
right.
From the eyes up.
Yeah, I agree.
So you add it all together, and I can threaten you and get your hackles up, and then I can, if I run the debate correctly and I have the loser left wingers. I mean, listen, I have a master's in economics. They would bring in Susie Liberal, 22 years old. God, you know, yeah, this inflation stuff, it's just, I don't know, you know? And so I would just murder her on stage, you know, just murder her on television. And then the guys are going, yeah!
Yeah.
Jesus. Right? All right, boom. Now you get 2 minutes of ads, and here's your Pampers, excuse me, here's your adult diapers, and buy gold, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the formula, but the formula didn't really understand was that there'd be so much collateral damage.
Right.
And that's really what my book is about, is that,
right.
That you know, these are 80 million Americans aren't speaking with their parents, aren't yeah. going to Thanksgiving, aren't, you know, Christmas, because they just can't stand the guy's become such a foxhole.
It's sad.
And it can go the left way, you know, too.
Yeah.
But as you say, when a person finally is, we're driven to have meaning in our life. You know, part of our deep innate psychology, you know, in self-actualization, if you will, is to actually get to the self-actualization part where you're involved in bigger things than just yourself. And for many people who, let's face it, you know, the white working class, white middle class, but particularly the white working class, we have 60 million households in the United States that are what's known as asset light. They're called Alice households, asset light, income constrained employees. They're working poor. When things aren't really going well and you can only pay 8 out of 10 of the monthly bill, and you got to juggle them, and you're one auto accident, you're one illness away from being on the street, you're traumatized.
Right.
What we really got into at Fox was, after 2008 and the Great Recession, et cetera, was trauma. This was a relief of a trauma, the way that, you know, when you watch the movie, you have a suspension of disbelief, right? To watch Star Wars, I mean, really, the Death Star doesn't really belong, but it's fun to watch it, so I'm suspending belief. Well, this was a different process. This was a identity activation process.
Right, right.
And it worked, you know, mind-bogglingly well. And the one thing we didn't, you know, put in was the race card. And all Trump really did was just take the yeah. same shtick and then add racism
yeah.
to it. Which was always, you know, I love the word dog whistle.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
Well, there's just, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to say so much of what you're talking about in reading the book, you have to take a step back after reading it each, and I suggest people do that chapter by chapter, and then take it back of Toby's of writing here. But you do get the sense that, wow, they really messed with my mind. But with that said, Tobin, people obviously yeah. should go out and buy the book. But if they want to get more information about You know, your experience there at Fox, or what you're doing now. I know you're going to be on a speaking tour. Where might they reach you?
Yeah, so certainly Facebook or Twitter is a great place. Instagram. You know, Tobin Smith is. You know, you can do the Google, as my grandmother says, and they'll find it. The book is you know, it's everywhere, and I think the one thing I'm just trying to get across, Al, is that. If you understand how you're being manipulated, then by definition, you take control back. But if you don't understand how you're being psychologically manipulated, then they own you.
Yeah.
And your guy Steve, they own Steve.
Oh, no question about it.
And Steve doesn't either he doesn't understand it or he doesn't give a crap, because it makes him feel so good to feel superior. Because remember, when you hate somebody, it's a self-congratulatory act.
Yeah.
Why does Sean Hannity use the word idiot over? Why does the word idiot used 100 times on Fox? Because when I say, can you believe those idiots? How's AOC, which they mentioned 1,600 times a
week.
It's
amazing. It really is. I wish we had more time with this, because it just gets, you know, it really gets your blood boiling and gets you really involved in this. But I got to cut it short. I want to thank Tobin Smith for being my guest this week on The Public Eye. Any questions or more information about what we do here at WICN, you can give us a call, 508-752-0700. For The Public Eye, this is Al Vona.